Hi, Bother Brigade. Here's what's bothering me today. I am once again here to ruin everyone's day and week with a lot of stories from the past week. And it's only Boxing Day, which, again, if you haven't seen it yet, see my Christmas video about how capitalists ruined this day, and last year's Christmas playlist, which also touches on it. But with that, I guess it's time we just kind of hop into things here. Right after, you know, I hope everyone had a good Christmas and they're having a good Boxing Day. But unfortunately, it's time for the Sunday sum up. So speaking of Christmas and all things holly and jolly, I was hit recently by a Masses United post which pointed out that when it hits you that you have less free time than medieval serfs, are paid less than Bob Cratchit, and are working the worst global pandemic in history to make billionaires richer. I mean, medieval life was absolutely terrible, but they also had at least, you know, one of the few things that they had going for them was a lot of time off. And especially with capitalism being just so productive, you know, right now humans are more productive than they've ever been, and yet we have less time off. Kind of doesn't make sense. And then additionally, someone did the math and found that Bob Cratchit, the Victorian / Dickensian allegory for destitution, actually made, when adjusted for inflation, more than the American minimum wage right now. So yeah, Merry Christmas! And, you know, unfortunately, it's still a goddamn pandemic outside, which is why many people here in Canada and other corners of the West decided not to gather for the holidays because of the stupid fucking Omicron variant, which is still spreading because we haven't solved a global problem globally. Huh, imagine that. We have so much fun on this channel, right? And speaking of Christmas and capitalist abuses, there was this image I saw thanks to Greenpeace online. Three things Coca-Cola doesn't want you to know. One, they produce over 120 billion throwaway plastic bottles every year, over 3,800 a second. Two, they've been named top plastic polluter in every global brand audit to date. Three, they're still increasing the number of single-use plastic bottles they use. I mean, I've always despise those Coca-Cola ads around Christmas time because, yeah, let me drink a ice cold drink in the frozen outdoors. Like, what? No, I like things like mulled wine and eggnog and regular wine and champagne and stuff because New Year's. So, you know, I prefer an inside, right, during like nice warm holiday cozy parties, not have a cold drink on a cold winter's night. Also, again, you know, they love using polar bears, and the production of plastics is leading to, again, increased emissions, which is eroding the habitat of the polar bears. And I'm sure, maybe they've done it before, and I'm sure they'll do it at some point in the future, of how Coca-Cola cares, you know. It's going to be some, you know, woke or whatever the right loves to use terminology these days. It's going to be some advertisement that shows, you know, we care about the environment because we're making this ad about how polar bears are actually, you know, oh, it's under threat and we're doing our part. We're matching donations or whatever up to $3 million, even though that's like what we make in 4 hours. Like, it's gonna be some dumb, terrible thing, right? Unless, of course, they've already done it, in which case, God. But again, this whole holiday season and just its capitalist excess is literally ruining the planet and contributing to the worsening of pollution, as Greenpeace accurately points out. Now, sorry to say this, folks, but those are basically the two lightest stories we have, because unfortunately, other things I saw during the lovely holiday spirit time was the following story. Lincoln County, Georgia, which is nearly one-third black, proposes closing 6 of 7 polling sites for 2022 after GOP took over local election board and purged Dems. I'm pretty sure we also already touched on this either in a previous Sunday sum up or a different video about Republican fuckery, but it's still crucial to point out that right now voting rights are being undone across the South, and there's basically been no real fight from Democrats. Even Mother Jones made an article about this, talking about how the Republicans are erasing decades of voting rights gains before our eyes. Republicans have blocked a vote on the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. The Supreme Court actually gutted the Voting Rights Act back in 2013, I think. And there's still just a ton of, like, gerrymandering going on, and the limiting of polling places. I've talked about that before, both in Georgia and also, like, Kentucky. So, you know, here's not just the South, but many other Republican-led or dominated corners of America. They are just openly saying, you know what? Screw democracy. We like power. And the Democrats are doing next to nothing to stop it. Which unfortunately brings us to the Biden administration. Remember how Biden once upon a time said, unlike Trump, I'll listen to the experts? I wonder how that's going. According to CNBC, Biden says he wishes he thought about ordering 500 million at-home COVID tests 2 months ago. And then as Vanity Fair pointed out, Biden administration was briefed in October on a 10-page plan for a testing surge to prevent holiday COVID surge and effectively rejected it. Oh yeah, you know, bravo. Really listening to the experts there, Joe. Or Brandon, as he's called by the right wing. By the way, again, your daily reminder that it is absolutely okay to say fuck Joe Biden. See, not that hard. Fuck Joe Biden. Which also, remember when Scott Adams or whoever the fuck said, oh, if the Democrats win in 2020, you got like a year to leave America because they're going to start hunting Republicans. You're all going to die. And it's like, yeah, dude, no, Republicans are so under threat, which is why they're actually just winning all over the place, even though the Dems control things, and Republicans are openly saying, let's go, Brandon, it really means fuck Joe Biden, we're totally under threat here. Hassan Piker said cracker on stream? That's a slur! Like, this is such an upside-down, stupid fucking timeline we live in. Which, speaking of the stupid timeline that we live in and more terrible actions from the Biden administration, The New Yorker on the reason President Biden is refusing to pay restitution to families separated at the border. White House officials ultimately decided that a settlement had become a greater political liability than any potential fallout from a broken promise. I feel like political liabilities also come down to broken promises, of which the Biden administration has made a fuck ton of. What's that about his approval ratings right now just being absolutely in the dumpster because of all the broken promises? Isn't that also a political liability, dear White House staffers and political analysts? And again, you know, to tie it back to just the previous story, yeah, really listening to the experts where they say, you know, maybe you should pay restitution to the people you're still separating at the goddamn border unnecessarily. And there's the administration saying, nah, you know what? Nah, we think it's far more of a political liability to try and chase centrists and moderate Republicans rather than appeal to our base. And wait, what do you mean our support is plummeting? I don't understand politics, apparently, despite being in it for decades. Like, the Dems are going to be so screwed in 2022. But hey, unfortunately, we're not done yet. COVID-19 deaths under Biden surpassed deaths during Trump administration. So yeah, the pandemic is definitely, you know, still a thing. And there was also that recent White House press release that basically said, oh, and you know, if you're unvaccinated and live in a red state, you know, basically just expect lots more death and suffering. Like, that was a real press release. It's like, what the fuck? But you know, this whole thing is still going on. And instead, the, you know, releases we're getting from, you know, official media and like the White House and their social media teams is crap like this. The Oval Office. Hello, friends. My name is Commander. I'm Major's new baby brother. And it's just, oh God, it is so terrible. Which, as the Holding Biden Accountable account points out, I am so tired. Dude, same. But you know what else I'm also tired of? All the liberal bullshit here in Canada. So, remember how, again, back in September, we had that apparently super necessary pandemic election that no one except Justin Trudeau wanted. And their whole claim for why that election needed to happen was so that they could get support to Canadians that really needed it super fast. Because, you know, the opposition just wasn't working. They were holding things up in committee and we just really need, you know, we really care and we want to get help out to Canadians. So, you know, we're going to have an election and please give us a majority government. And when they didn't get that, they didn't go back to work. Again, it was like the September election. They didn't go back until the end of goddamn November. And then they left, you know, mid-December. And they're not back until the end of January. Meaning we've effectively had just, I think, 20 or 22 days of a government since September. And you know, when I pointed this out in that video that I did a while back on the subject, and also on Twitter, I had some liberal Truanon cultist stans show up and say,
Well, you know, look, just because the government is sitting doesn't mean government ends. You know, things are still happening. The ministers are still working and blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing, though. They aren't working. And you know how I know this? Liberals delay new regulations to lower price of medicines in Canada. Health Minister Jean-Yves Duclos has put a six-month pause on new regulations designed to lower the cost of patented medicines in Canada. This legislation is as old as 2019, where basically they were going to put caps on certain prices for medication. This was an effort to try and keep excessively expensive drug costs down, and their logic for why, you know, they're delaying it again is, well, because the pandemic is happening, and with pharma and the pandemic, it's just, you know, we don't really know where things may land. So, you know, we don't want to add more uncertainty. Duclos himself actually said that, you know, they're allowing the industry, so like, this delay will allow the industry, government, and other players in the drug distribution system to focus efforts on fighting the pandemic. Yeah, how's that going again with like the useless travel restrictions from Southern Africa, lack of proper restrictions from provincial players and governments to actually lock down and prevent again the, you know, taking up of ICU beds. Also, you know, you're fighting the pandemic, but all the pandemic supports ended and yet people are still, you know, struggling financially and the cost of living is going up and somehow, you know, delaying this legislation doesn't help Canadians, you absolutely obtuse, stupid fuckwits. This is literally the fourth delay the Liberal government has done for this legislation. And that goes again over since this was first proposed in 2019, before and during the goddamn pandemic. But yeah, Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party totally fucking care, right? Oh, which means I should probably talk about the other bit of news that came out recently. So, the Canada Emergency Wage Subsidy was a thing that lasted for a while, and it was actually initially proposed by the NDP, and its purpose, at least in theory, was that they being the government, would help basically keep wages to a modest level so that people who had been employed with companies could stay home, they would be on a reduced paycheck, but they could still technically be on payroll. This was meant to prevent an overwhelming of like Service Canada and like unemployment benefits, or EI as they're known up here, as well as the new CERB, the Canada Emergency Response Benefit, that, you know, $2,000 a month, at least initially, thing that we had. Now, what happened instead with, you know, oh, we're trying to keep people and have companies be able to retain staff on hand and prevent an overwhelming of the other systems that we have. Good idea in practice. Here's the problem. The Canada Emergency Wage Subsidy, actually a payroll subsidy, cost the public $107 billion. One study from January 2021 calculated the CEWS cost $188,000 a year for every job saved. Where did all the money go? Profits. Yeah, so what ended up happening is companies that used this program, the CEWS, they use that instead to just fill their coffers and engage in stock buybacks and give themselves bonuses, like we saw with Air Canada, which I touched on in at least two different videos back in the day. So Canadians shelled out over $100 billion in taxpayer money to help, you know, the idea, again, sound idea, help companies to keep staff on during the pandemic so we don't overwhelm all our other public systems, and this way they don't have to let people go and, you know, they don't have to retrain people. It was kind of, in some ways, a win-win in certain ways for both sides. And instead, what the rich, greedy capitalist fucks did was they just took that money and bought more of their stock to inflate the prices and make themselves look more good and successful and capitalist, and then patted themselves on the back with massive bonuses, and then they have the audacity to say that they are very successful companies on their own and pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. Again, with public money. What happened, you know, in some cases, including with Shoppers, what they did was they took this money, they automated a bunch of, like, jobs so that they could then, you know, oh, well, sorry, your job's been automated, so we have to let you go no matter what. And they still took that extra money and just gave themselves stock buybacks and bonuses. What the fuck is wrong with us? At this point, we, the people, are entitled to seize these assets. hey, you know what? That's actually my money. So we're going to take this stuff and freely distribute it around since you basically took the equivalent value from our collective pockets.
And unfortunately, that's not even, well, depending how you want to look at it, the worst story from Canada I've got right now. According to an article from The Breach Media, which again is doing great work, please go follow them, subscribe, like, just go support Breach Media. It is fantastic. They had a recent article that pointed out that Canada's big banks pay out $19 billion in record bonuses. That wasn't profit, that was bonuses. Their profits were $57 billion in 2021. The six largest banks hit record-breaking profits in 2021 and will pay out massive bonuses at year's end, newly released fourth quarter earnings reports show. Now, again, I don't know how many of the banks engage in the CEWS, if they even use it or if they even qualified for it. However, what this shows overwhelmingly is that here in Canada, we have just as much a problem as people in America do with the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, and no matter who's in charge in government, that situation just continues. During a time of unprecedented wealth transfer and massive public subsidy of the private sector, by the way, across Canada, instead, what's happened is the wealthy have gotten even richer with, you know, free public money, and the public has gotten infinitely poorer and in a more precarious position. And this applies to both Canada and America. We are making the planet uninhabitable for ourselves, and our governments, who are supposed to lead and do the right thing, are doing next to nothing, all while freely giving our money from our tax dollars to big business, which is already making record profits, and they're refusing to tax these businesses and tax obscene wealth, all while again giving public money to these corrupt bastards that we find everywhere. And you know, again, it's Christmas time, right? As I pointed out in the two videos about how capitalism is ruining Christmas and also how, you know, I'm bothered by what happened with this day, right? Boxing Day or St. Stephen's Day, and how it used to be a day of almsgiving and capitalism just turned it into another shopping day. And now, because again, you know, gotta make fucking money, a shopping week. Not only does that just absolutely frustrate and infuriate me, but that all ties into, you know, the whole Christmas story about, you know, being with family, remembering what's important, and holding those close that we love, and all, you know, the good fuzzy stuff, which again I talked about in yesterday's video. Wish that could happen every year. And one of the things that people love to talk about is the Christmas Carol, where a rich Victorian version of Jeff Bezos is basically convinced, out of fear and like actually learning and being open to learning and changing, is changed by three ghosts over the course of a Christmas night to actually become a kind, good, and generous person. Unfortunately, you know, case in point with all these stories here, that's clearly not happening in real life, which means we need to figure out something that we can actually do to make the wealthy billionaires and big businesses actually start giving a shit and paying their fair share. Because ghosts aren't going to do the work for us. And unfortunately, again, you know, right? This was yet another week of just terrible stuff that continues to happen. And it is definitely what was bothering me today.